First of all, thank you for being on our show. You're one of our favorite players.
Wow.
We feel like you're one of the most underrated players out there.
Thanks
we love
for having
watching
me.
You play, but thank you for being on the show.
Thanks
for
having
me. Get your respect up in here.
Thanks for having me.
When you first got to the WNBA, who was the first person to bust your ass?
Oh, man. I mean, outside of like my teammates, you know, I was playing with Delisha Milton Jones, CP, of course, Ebony Hoffman. I'd probably have to say it was Kat. Tamika Catchings,
Tamika Catchings.
Yeah.
She had it all around.
So. Oh, and it
and
was
she
just.
She never stopped moving.
Never. It was just.
That energy.
So tiring because she could do everything.
Yeah.
And I always had to guard her. And it, that was like my first, like, oh my God.
Right.
I can't, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
Yo, we live on location, Los Angeles, California, and we got greatness with us today.
Yes, sir.
8-time All-Star, number one overall pick, WNBA champ, Rookie of the Year, MVP, W25. We got greatness, Black. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
NECA, Gumuke, we appreciate you. We got grace today, y'all. We blessed. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cypress, Texas. That's right outside of Houston, right?
It is.
Okay.
H-Town.
How was it growing up in Cypress, Texas with three other sisters and y'all loving it? Who put the ball in y'all hand to make y'all love this hoop then?
Man, growing up in Cypress was, it was, I would have to say that we had a really good upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are Nigerian American, and so we grew up in the suburbs of Houston, Texas. They like to call Houston like Little Lagos because there's a lot of Nigerians in Houston. Yeah, there's a lot of Nigerians in Houston.
Okay.
Yeah. So we ended up settling out there. We just kind of, we're just little kids having fun. Education was first.
Yeah.
My mom is in education. She's been in it for over 30 years now. And so that was always what was most important. And then as we kind of like started growing up, it was like, okay, how can we get into different activities?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where like sports came in. We weren't ever really like, hey, like, I really want to play this sport, but my mom and my dad were all about leading healthy lives and well-rounded lives. So we started off in gymnastics, kind of like tumbling class.
Is your mom and dad tall?
My dad is. My mom is not really. Yeah. My dad is. My dad's like 6'3".
So was y'all like girls in class, like the taller in the in the class and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So at what point, like you got three sisters, at what point was it like the Gumuke sisters, it just start being like that?
I mean, I think like maybe closer to like when I was in high school because my young, I'm 8 years older than the youngest one.
Oh, okay, right.
So it took a while for them to kind of like make their way through. But I started playing when I was about 10. And at first I was playing at the YMCA League. And this was like, you know, when my mom was like, hey, we need to put you guys in some activities.
Yeah.
So my other three sisters were in soccer. I had to stop playing gymnastics because my instructor said I was getting too tall and it was becoming like a health hazard or safety hazard. So then my mom was like, okay, she would take us to the Y every weekend. And so that's where we learned how to swim and everything. And she saw that you could sign up for basketball classes. So then I was doing that. And I was doing that for like several weeks. I was about like 10 and I was, you know, the tallest, most athletic. I didn't know anything about basketball. But, you know, I was in there. I was walking around like my shit didn't
sing. When did volleyball?
I mean, like, volleyball didn't really come until a little bit later. But, like, my intro to basketball wasn't like, ooh, hooper intro. It was just kind of like, hey, there's a basketball team at the Y. Then my mom's colleague at work was like, oh, you know, she plays at the Y and she's doing really good. There's this program called AAU. My mom was like, what's that?
Yeah.
So she signed me up and there was this one team that was in the Cypress area. And then that's when I really started. That was actually really my welcome to the league moment because I did not know people were out there dribbling with two balls. I was like, I walked into practice. I was like, why do you guys need two balls to dribble? You know? And I thought I knew my stuff and I didn't know anything. And then once I started kind of like getting my bearings with basketball in that way, that's when I got to middle school and I was like, oh, I can play volleyball, I can run track. And then that's kind of when I started, I started like understanding
Who professional, whether it was a man or a female, you seen play basketball and it was like, that's what I want to do. I want to do that right there.
So I have a very unconventional kind of like upbringing when it comes to basketball. I didn't really know or believe that I could play professionally until like my junior, senior year in college.
Yeah.
Dang. But we grew up watching a lot of basketball as a family. Everything was a family thing. Okay. And the first player that I saw and I was like, oh man, like they got it going on was KG. He was my favorite player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the way he played and I love the way he led.
Yeah,
you know, like you could tell that he was impactful on his team, not just because of how he was playing. Mm. Now, granted, I didn't know what was going on in the locker room, but like hearing stories now, like people have so many stories about him and how hard he was and just how he connected with people. And he was the first player that I was like, oh, shoot. But on the women's side, it was Sophia Young.
Sophia Young.
Because I grew up in Texas. So I grew up watching a lot of Texas basketball. So watching her play and watching them win back then was also really impactful for me.
What year in high school that you felt like you got it? You understood completely. Like, every time I come in this game, I know what I'm going to do. I know the strategies for it. I know how they double team me. Because you're an all-around player.
Yeah.
So you was doing it since high school, but you got to get it.
But you hit 35 in your first game, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think that my breakout year, like when I really started feeling it, was when I was like around like 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. That was when, I'll never forget this, I was sitting in the car with my dad after we just had like an AAU game, and I was like getting ready to like get ready for basketball in high school. I wasn't really bummed, but like I couldn't play varsity my first year because I didn't live in the district.
What?
So there's a rule. Yeah, there's like a rule where you
can't. So you go to the school, but if you're not
I was
in
on
the
JV
district,
my freshman year.
Because you're not in the district.
Yeah, you have to live in the district to be able to play in varsity. So like I didn't live in the district at the time.
Wow, I never heard that.
Yeah, so I was playing on JV and I was like,
so
okay, cool, whatever.
So you varsity your sophomore year?
To my sophomore year, yeah. Mm. So I was like sitting in the car with my dad and I was like, Dad, I was like, you know, I've been playing a few years and each day I get better. Coach Mike and Coach Al, like they get me better. And, you know, there was another player on the team who was there before me, and I used to look up to her. I was like, man, I wish I could play like her.
Like her, yeah.
And it got to a point where I was like, you know, Dad, I was like, I don't really see her getting better.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. not everyone has the same talent or skill set, so
and
you have
going.
To you have to understand that you have to keep working at it. Some people may have to do it more than others. And that was kind of like the first time when I was like, oh, shoot. Maybe this is something that I'm like really good at.
Because you was, as you going up, when you getting better, it started getting easier and easier and easier.
I mean, I would say that in moments it felt like, I don't want to say it started getting easier.
She being humble, y'all. She being humble. She's like, I would say it like, it's okay. It's
I mean,
okay.
Like, it, at times when I was like, okay, you know, I would catch things a little bit easier. But then I also noticed that I kind of had like a physical gift, you know, like there are ways that I could do things that I didn't have to think about. And with that comes more challenges. So like, okay, if you figure this one move out, then you got to do the next one. And then do you have a counter? And then can you also remember to go back to the first move?
Yeah.
Then you're getting double, you're getting tripled. And so I was seeing a lot of that, but I was really blessed. I had some really amazing coaches that also helped me understand kind of like being a student of the game. And I think that that's kind of where my game comes from. Naturally, education has always been like a pillar of my upbringing.
Yeah.
So I love learning the game. I always say that a true marker of a coach for me is if I'm coming in and I'm learning every day from you, that's what I think is a really good coach or even teammate.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like I know more than you. That's right. When I start losing interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
we all do.
Tell me this, at the same time, like while you sitting and you talking with your dad about basketball, are you emerging the same way in volleyball? Because you became that same type of All-American in both. Like, were you seeing the growth in both dual sports?
I was, actually. And because of that, I also was like trying to become a student of the game in volleyball. So like, I really did not know anything about volleyball.
Right.
And I didn't know that when you go in there, you can have like, you know, like a 6'1", a 5'2", all these different things. I thought it was just three people in the back, three people in the front, and you just rotating.
Yeah.
And then I started learning that there's strategy in volleyball
blocks
too.
And strikes. What? And all that stuff.
And it was something that really helped me with my footwork as well. Like volleyball helped basketball and basketball helped volleyball. And I really do believe that if I wasn't playing basketball, I would definitely be a volleyball player.
Did you try to pursue both going to college?
Stanford showed interest, but Tara wasn't having that. Tara wasn't having that.
So correct me if I'm wrong. A kill is when you at the net and you high out.
That's a kill.
She had 863.
A kill is any type of, if you hit it overhand, and no one hits it on the other side, as far as I understand, that's what a kill is.
So
you can do it from the back. You can do it, yeah. Even oh, that's more like a tip, but you still killed it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah.
You had 863 of them jumps.
2 years.
I did not know that.
You're going crazy. I'm saying that's all American, though. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I had fun playing. I miss it at times.
Did it help you on, like, your drop step to jump and to come around and get your timing on your jumps and... and all that stuff, like your running jump?
Yeah, I would definitely say volleyball helped me a lot, of course, with my vertical.
Yeah.
That helped me a lot with my vertical. It helped me with, like, my drop step. It helped me with my pivot foot, you know, just keeping your pivot feet down and understanding, not necessarily, like, working on the pivot per se, but working on, like, knowing when to keep it down and how to move with your foot down. Yeah. Like, it's something I didn't realize it would help. But it's very, very helpful for that.
So when the big time awards start coming in, like you starting to get rewarded for what you're doing, like winning these player of the years and all that, how was that for you to receive that? Like your junior and senior year, mostly, you receiving not only local awards, but national
Gatorade, National Player of the Year.
Yeah, it was a bit overwhelming. It was a bit overwhelming. I think because... you know, I was receiving all these awards and I didn't really know how it was going to translate. You know, like I knew that college wasn't an option, like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So then when the letters started coming in, I was like, oh, wait, I can kind of go wherever
anywhere
I
want
to go.
Want.
Yeah. And I knew I was going to go to school. I just didn't realize that basketball would open those doors for me to be able to like pick where I want to go.
Yeah.
So then once I started getting letters from Stanford, I was like, that diploma is the one that I want, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, the awards, I just didn't really understand, like, okay, what does it mean for my future necessarily? I understood that it was helping me get scholarships and see what I could do at the collegiate level. So it was kind of a whirlwind, and it was just really fun to be able to celebrate it with, like, my family.
How was it for you to be getting all these accolades, you basically running the school, but your sister, your three little sisters get an opportunity to see your leadership and the step? Was that very important for you to be an example to them? Because it started early, even in high school.
I mean, my sisters are always, at top of mind.
Yeah.
For me, I'm kind of, you know, the guinea pig in a lot of situations.
I'm the first
one out. So I want to make things easier for them.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want them to believe that they have to do what I'm doing. So coming out there and, like, doing what I'm doing, you know, in a successful way, I was just hoping that was creating more opportunities for them to be able to do what they wanted to do, which, I mean, we all kind of ended up doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we all also kind of had our own little journeys through it. I hope that it helped them.
What you saying, like, you wanted that Stanford diploma. Did anybody else have a chance to try and pull you towards them in any type of way on the recruiting?
Well, almost got
you. Yeah, I would say, and this is like a lot of women my age, like around that time, said the same thing. If Coach G hadn't left Duke, we were all going to Duke.
Really? Mm.
That was the only school that I was like, ooh. But once I had gone to Stanford, when I landed like the night before my visit started. I hadn't seen anything. It's just I landed and I felt it. I was like, oh, no, this is where I'm going to go. But Duke was real close. Baylor was also really close, too.
Mm.
My mom wanted me to go to Baylor. Yeah.
Kim was there then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you've committed. Now you at college. How is it? Was it like a culture shock from you being from Texas and now you going way out to California and you on the other side of the country away from your family?
Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't. To be honest, I would say that living in L.A. was more of a culture shock than going to Stanford.
Well, but I can understand that.
When I got to Stanford, I was like, wow, like, you know, things are a little bit different here. I remember the first thing that I noticed when I got there was that when people were driving, I remember, like, I was sitting at a light and I forgot who was driving, but they were just kind of like waiting. And I was like, the light's red. Like, you can turn right. You don't have to wait on the light.
Right.
And they're like, you got to wait on pedestrians. I was like, pedestrians?
Yeah.
I was like, we don't have those in Texas. I was like, if you don't have a car, you're not going anywhere in Houston.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting just to see, like, I guess just Cali living.
The hoop of it. Because, like, now you just took another step up being at Stanford. Like, how was the hoop on the court? Like, I don't think you, in high school, you went through the same training camp, getting up extra early, like how you do in college. How was the adjustment of the hoop and the training for in college?
You know, I've had some really amazing coaches. So I grew up in Texas, and like Texas women's basketball was huge. Mm-hmm. So people took it very seriously. And if you had a great coaching staff, I had a great AAU coaching staff. I had a great high school coach. So like we knew the wake up at 6 a.m. Okay. Come in, you know, do your work.
Okay.
Yeah, I was
okay,
already kind
Texas
of
Texas women's basketball. We wasn't doing that.
Nah, for sure. That's how it was for me. So when I got to Stanford, it was just, okay, what is my new schedule?
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of kind of like imposter syndrome. So like I came in, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play at this level.
Yeah.
I remember the year before I was watching Stanford at the Final Four. I was like, oh my gosh, look at how they're hooping.
Yeah.
So the adjustment was definitely trying to figure out like what my new role was. I think anytime I step into a situation, I don't automatically think.
You the man.
I don't automatically think that. I think sometimes I do the reverse and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm starting from the bottom. Let me try to work my way up.
Very passive.
Yeah. So I came into Stanford just like, okay, let me make sure I'm at the right place at the right time. I also had to go there early. So Hurricane Ike was about to hit when I was going to Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to fly out a week ahead of like when I was supposed to go, but I ended up having to go 2 weeks early because my mom didn't want me to get stuck.
Yeah.
So I moved to Stanford like literally by myself.
And nobody was there.
No family, nothing. I had like a cousin and an auntie that lived in the Bay, and then Jane Appel's family took me in as well, and they helped a lot. So I kind of like started with a little bit of a traumatic experience, and so I was just kind of like, okay, where's my dorm? You know, we ride bikes over there. So I was like, let me get my bike. Let me get
bike
my lock.
Ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I came in with this mindset of like, I just need a
bike ride.
Don't Why worry. They got me the inside joke?
Yeah, come on, man. Leave him alone.
I'm sorry.
I will say in Stanford, they have hella bike accidents. So you're not the only one. You're not the only one. I've had teammates miss because of bike accidents.
Yeah,
but anyway, it's
sometimes
cool.
happen.
It's okay. It's okay. But so I came in just, you know, with the mindset of like, let me be at the right place at the right time. And it was hard. It wasn't easy. I didn't really know what to expect, but it felt like a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you start getting your feet into it, like your freshman year, like how was the games? Because now, you know, Stanford is one of the top schools in
coming
the nation.
Coming out the Final Four.
Yeah.
You have one of the, like UConn's and the Tennessee's and all these other schools is up. Building up for powerhouses. Mm-hmm. All of us want to go to the Final Four. All of us want to do great. So how is it to be one of them teams that you see in the top 25 that they expect you to be good?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of expectation. I think, too, you know, I came into Stanford with what Wiggs did, you know, and that was all I
she
knew.
She was cold.
Yeah.
She was cold.
She brought a lot to that organization.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming in like with like Final Four or bust, you know, like that was the expectation. Once they had gotten there, it was like, okay, we know we can get there. Let's do it again. So there was no option.
Mm-hmm.
So I came in with that understanding. I came in with Jane Appel, Kayla Peterson, Jeanette Polin, Roz was on the team. And we had a pretty strong like freshman class. And I had actually missed summer school because I was with Team USA.
Mm.
So I had already felt like I was kind of behind because, you know, that's when you like you get to know everybody and you train and stuff. But we came in hard and like Tara had expectations. Tara had a way of doing everything. We had 3 hours of practice and there was something for every single minute of those 3 hours. Like you come in, you do your training, you do your strength and conditioning. There was just this standard of excellence that was a non-negotiable. And so we came in every day working hard. Practices were harder than the games. That's what she wanted.
With Stanford, did you feel that not only with the basketball team, but just like the students and just everybody who go to Stanford, you just felt it
Amongst
everybody?
Like there's this, they call it, I think, like the swimming duck syndrome, where like at Stanford, it appears like over the water, everyone's just like, you know, just chill, swimming, but they're fighting for their lives under the water. Yeah. That's how it is across the board, whether you're a student athlete, anything.
Yeah.
And I always used to tell people that I was like, you know, we had Richard Sherman, we had Andrew Luck, you know, we had all these different stars at Stanford, but it never felt that way because the students were stars too.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the next app coming out of these dorm rooms, you know. Right. You had people like Issa Rae in there, you know, doing stuff. And so there was just this notion of like, we all got to be excellent.
Yeah.
And that was the environment at Stanford. And it's kind of cool because you're amongst all of these brilliant people, But I also think that it kind of breeds an environment where, like, you don't really know how to ask for help. You don't really know where to go.
So
you don't want to, you don't want to admit that you don't know something,
right.
You know? But you end up finding people that can kind of help you in that way.
What was something from Coach Toro that sticks to you right now today?
I said this in my speech when I was inducted into the Stanford Hall of Honor, and I would never forget this. I was hooping on the court. I was hooping. I was about like my, I think it was about like my sophomore year or so. And in the classroom, I was kind of struggling because there was this expectation that I had to go to medical school after I, I kind of put on myself, but it was a little bit cultural that I had to put on all of these performances on the court and then also like keep my grades high. You gotta be perfect. And so I decided to choose a major that required me to have really hard classes. And so I'm hooping and I'm hooping on the court. And then my grades are not really like doing that well. And so Tara, because you know, they check in on you, like we're on the quarter system. They check in on you every quarter. So Tara came, she brought me into the office. I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Am I in trouble? And so she's like, you know what? Like, no one would know that you're struggling in the classroom. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, what can you do to help balance what you need to do on the court and in the classroom? And I told her, I was like, I'm not going to lie, Tara. Like, this major that I'm trying to achieve is really, really difficult. She's like, it's hard for anyone, let alone a student athlete. And so she was like, just figure out something that you think suits you more. And she was like, you and I are a lot alike. And at the time, I was like,
hold up.
Really? But she was like, you know, like it's hard for us to ask for help at times, but sometimes it's important for people to like step in that can kind of like sense you. And I really took that to heart. And I was like, okay, Tara, thank you. I appreciate that. So she set me up with who I needed to really get to where I needed to be great on the court and in the classroom.
Tell me this. So freshman year, you make all Pac-10, but y'all lose to UConn.
Yeah.
You lose to UConn in the Final Four.
Yeah, we lost in the first game.
Then sophomore year, you get back. This year, you Pac-10 Player of the Year, but now y'all get to the chip. UConn and Maya Moore them again.
That one was a hard one. That was the hardest one.
So tell me about that, but I also want to hear about junior year when y'all beat them and knocked them off and broke the 90-game win streak.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was so much history in the 4 years that I was there, you know. Obviously, like, coming into school, UConn was a top team. Tennessee was a top team. Notre Dame was up and coming. Yeah, I could have. But I went to Stanford. But that first year, you know, a lot of my experience was like, you know, eyes wide open, kind of like doe-eyed. I was very new to all of it. You know, we go to the Final Four. I think it was in St. Louis. I think it was in St. Louis. And I was just like, okay, cool. You know, this is really big deal. Like, we got to try and win. And we played well the whole season to get to the Final Four. And I think that first year, I think that we were just playing too nervous. Yeah. You know, we were playing too nervous. They had a really great team.
Yeah.
They had Tina. They had Maya. They had Tiffany Hayes. Yeah. Like, they had everybody. And so I think that was, like, a really big learning lesson, especially, you know, not being on the team the year before when they went to the Final Four, which was actually kind of amazing because I was at the, I don't know if they still do it, they had the WBCA and All-American. So I was there when they were at the Final Four the year before. And so, like, I felt it, you know. And the next year, I think, you know, we kind of let ourselves down. And then we just kind of keep up this standard of excellence. And then my sophomore year, it was like, okay, cool. Like, we are vibing. Like, we're really coming out here. We're vibing. We're hooping. And it was tough because I think they said that that year that might have been, like, the lowest scoring halftime of any Final Four. And it was like, I mean, I feel like at halftime we barely had any points. It was like either in the 20s or the 30s or something like that. We were
playing
up.
D out there. That's what it was.
Man, you're right. But it was so, that one was really heartbreaking because like we were up, it was so close. And Jane was actually playing on a broken foot. And so we ended up losing that one. And then we were just kind of like, man, we can't keep coming here and losing, you know? And I think that after that year, it was kind of like a real culture shift of like, hey, like we've done this 3 years in a row. Like there's a reason why we're in these positions. Yeah. And so the next year, that junior year was a really big year for me.
Yeah.
And that was also the first year I played with Chinee. So Chinee came to the team and she's sitting at home watching everything. You know, I'm coming home telling her all these stories. And we have one of the hardest preseasons that I've ever experienced. And, you know, we've had to play Tennessee, UConn. I think at the time we even played Xavier.
That's in the preseason?
Yeah, in the preseason. So we're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so we get to the UConn game. And at this point, this is my junior year. We haven't lost a game at home. Yeah. And so that's kind of what we're rocking with. Like, we've never lost a game in Maples. And I will never forget how we prepared for that game. Shanae was guarding Maya. And so, like, our practice squad, they did some amazing, amazing things. Like, they really personified each player, played like each player. And by the time we got to that game, Shanae knew when Maya was going to tie her shoe. Like, it was, she was like, she looked like a rabid dog out there. And it was just, that was probably one of the games where I was like, wow, like, this is basketball. You know, like, this is basketball. And people don't even know the preparation it takes
to get to that,
to execute the game plan, to deal with obstacles in the game. And we were able to maintain, like, our home game stand.
How crazy did the campus go when y'all, because, like, I remember that it was on TV.
Yeah, it was, like, it was
how
a
crazy
serious
was
game.
The whole campus and, like, the area, like, for the it that night, days
huge.
Following and all that. Like, I know it was crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really crazy. I will say that, you know, we had amazing fans that would come in.
Yeah.
It was so loud in Maples. I want to say that Dr. Condoleezza Rice was at the game, you know, because she teaches at Stanford. And so it was just one of those games that you'll never, never forget. And I loved it for the culture. I loved it for the culture for women's basketball.
How is it to, you know, you in college and the level of play that y'all going to every single year? By your senior year, that's a lot of stuff. Like, how was it to just go 4 years of that intense every year? And you know how it is to get your adrenaline up so much to go all the way to the Final Four. And some of them was losses and some of them was highs and lows. So how was it at your senior year when you got to it? Do you feel like it was like a lifetime of
Yeah, it definitely. It felt like a lot. You know, it felt like a lot. Because also, too, you have to realize, like, you're not just a student athlete. But then also, like, as a hooper, you want to play each season as long as you can. And we are literally playing every possible game every single year.
Yeah.
And so it almost feels like just like a grind, a grind, a grind. And then by the time my senior year came, you know, I felt more like a vet. But I wanted to make sure that the experience and the standard of which I entered, you know, was still maintained. And I think I also kind of like wanted to have more fun. So like my senior year was definitely a little bit more about having fun, keeping that home game winning streak alive, and also making sure that, you know, like, Chiney's here now. So I was like, yo, see, like, I played 2 years without you. We played 2 years together. Now you're going to have to play 2 years on your own. Yeah. By the time I became a senior, I felt like a vet.
You set the standard, though, 22-10, first team All-American, John Wooden. That was, you know, you, hey, little sis, this is how it's done now.
Yeah, she broke all my records. And I was like, if it's anyone that I want to do, it's you for sure. She did her thing.
Was it a no-brainer for her to come to Stanford because you were there?
No. And she visited other schools. She visited different schools than I did. So I visited Duke and Baylor and Stanford. She visited Notre Dame, Connecticut and Stanford.
And she chose
to come.
So now, you know, it's WNBA, it's draft time. Was it a hard choice to think about what you was going to wear to the draft?
No, my mom picked up my outfit.
Word.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I wasn't even really tripping about what I was going to wear. I think I was just kind of like, I'm like one of those people where I don't really think about things until like it like happens. Like, I'm not someone who's like trying to determine their fate. I'm a very disciplined person. So I trust that my destiny is going to happen the way it should if I do the things every day, if I'm like the same every day, you know, if I do my best, try to be my best self every day. And so, like, by the time the draft came, it was just kind of like, oh, the draft is happening today and you're in it. Like, that's kind of how it was. My mom helped me pick out my outfit and everything. And then I started kind of understanding because, like, you know, they're like, oh, you're probably going to go number one. You're probably going to go number one. And Shanae was the first person that told me that I was probably going to go number one. And so she was just like, you can do medical school later. It was after that. We played Tennessee at home, I remember. And I, like, I think it was my career high scoring. I scored like 40-something
42.
Points.
42?
Yeah. And so
yeah,
Shanae was like, do you not see what you're doing? Like, yeah. After the game, she was like, you can do medical school later. You're going to get drafted number one. And this is, of course, like early ESPN, yeah. Chanae, and she, right. doesn't even know it. So then by the time the draft comes, I'm like, okay, this is happening, you know? And I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, draft number one. But I'm not thinking about, like, this is where you're going to be living. Mm. This is, like, your new life.
Yeah, your new life.
And in hindsight now, I'm like, it was such a blessing. I mean, still today, I think so. But, like, to be drafted to L.A., considering I'd been at Stanford, I'd, right. already had, like, the Cali connection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I played in Staples Center. You, yeah. know, we played the L.A. schools. And so when the day came, I actually got drafted on my mom's birthday.
Mm.
And so it was just a very special day.
Yeah.
How was it getting drafted and coming here and playing with Candace Parker right away?
You know, it was funny. Before I got here, I remember, I think it was, I forgot what when it was, but I was at the ESPYs one time and I was like, hey, you know, I think it was when I got Gatorade Player of the Year. She sat at our table. It was either me or Chanae. And I was like, hey, Candace, nice to meet you. Like, I knew who she was. And at the time, she was still at Tennessee. And so I was like, okay, you know, nice to meet you. And she was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And so circling back after I got drafted, I forgot how I hit her up. I want to say it was maybe like on Twitter or something. Or And I was like, hey, Candace, I don't know if you remember me. I had literally just got drafted. But I met you at the Gatorade Player of the Year. I just wanted to say I'm excited to be in L.A. She was like, I know who you are. And so I was like, okay, cool. I didn't really know how to, like, greet you. You know, it's Candace. And so I get to L.A., and my first experience with CP was, like, before training camp. She invited me and Chanae. Chanae helped me move down. She invited me and Chanae to go to Layla. I think Layla was turning, like, 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
to go to Layla's birthday party. And so that was, like, my first experience. I was like, oh, man, like, you know, I grew up in family being important. And so, like, being invited to that and, like, seeing that, it meant a lot for me.
Yeah.
And then just getting to practice, knowing that every day I'm going to have to be guarding her. I was like, if anything, I'm going to be a good defender.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was really fun.
So seeing that connection, y'all two playing together, and right away it instantly clicked. But you got teams out there like Minnesota and, mm-hmm. and all these other teams. Getting to that WNBA and seeing, like, oh, it's a lot of power going on. It's a mm-hmm. lot of things. You got Taurasi over there. How was it for you?
It was daunting. It was scary. Because when I entered the league, it's so interesting. It was all about the West. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody in the West.
Everybody in the West.
Could kill you. And that was something that I understood very early on. The first rivalry that I was made known of was LA and Phoenix. Like, mm-hmm. that was, like, a really big thing. And so at the time, you know, you had Candace Dupree, Duana, mm-hmm. you had DT, you had Penny Taylor. Like, you had a squad over there. And then you had, you know, Sue in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And it, at the time, like, mm-hmm. Tina was still on the team. I want to say LJ was even on the team. I think Tanisha Wright was on the team. Swin. I'm just like, man, like, everywhere you turn, there's teams.
Somebody to play.
There's somebody to play. There's somebody to beat. And that was kind of like my first intro. And, like, of course, like, you know, the East Coast teams at the time weren't as strong, but they weren't chumps.
Yeah,
you know, you still had to hoop.
Yeah.
And getting comfortable with knowing that every game was not going to be, I think in college, especially coming from, like, a high level team.
Yeah.
Not getting used to, like,
off.
you're gonna lose some games.
Yeah.
You're gonna get blown out some games. Every game's not gonna be an automatic win.
Yeah.
So that's something that I learned very early on.
How was it for you, like, in rookie year? You get out there, you win rookie of the month 4 out of 5 times. Like, did you feel like, I should be rookie of the year? Did you get to a point at some point where you felt that?
I mean, I think the imposter in me was always like, it still couldn't happen. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, with Chanae calling you, telling you then, like,
oh, yeah,
sick.
For sure.
You doing that job?
Like, keep hoping. Calling me from Stanford. I'm like, Chanae, oh my gosh, this is so different. But you know, like, I don't know. I just, for me, until it happens is when I, like, you know, I start to believe it a little bit. And also, like, winning ROI wasn't really, like, the end game for me. Mm. I wanted to come in and I wanted to be a key piece to the team.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an asset. I want to come in every night. I want to help the team win. And, you know, everything else kind of follows. And also, too, like, I'm balancing, like, okay, I'm hooping here in the league. And then you're slapped with, and now you're going overseas. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, like, living what feels like those two different lives was just so different.
Yeah.
How was that going overseas and, like you say, living that life?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't occur to me that I was actually going to be
to do that.
Living in Poland my first year until like I got there. And I was like, oh, shoot, like I'm in Poland.
Because you didn't even think about the summer after.
No, like.
You go straight from the season from college straight to WNBA.
Yeah.
And then you don't even think about after that couple of months what I'm supposed to do after that.
No, like you have the draft, you move, and then I basically was at training camp like a week or two before it started. Start training camp, you do the season, and then I had like 10 days and I was in Poland. And I did that for like 7 years.
Mm.
And so my first year, I was like, okay, I'm hooping, you know, I'm over here thinking like, let's try to make playoffs, this, that, and the other. And, you know, it didn't end the way we wanted to. And it was always so hard back then because only one team could come out of the West.
Yeah.
And so we were always either trying to beat Phoenix, trying to beat Minnie.
Yeah.
And then by the time that ended, now it's like, okay, you're going overseas. And my parents were integral to like, you know, in the beginning they like signed my agent and it was very much a family affair. Yeah. So like they knew where I was going. They knew all of the intricacies of like my deal. And they're like, hey, you're going to Poland. And I was like, all right, cool.
Mm.
So right after the season, I go to Poland and I just know that my job is to hoop.
Yeah.
So I go out there, I practice every day, I hoop. My rookie year in every way, both in WNBA and overseas, I did not leave my room. I just would go to practice, hoop, get food, go home, watch Criminal Minds. Like, that's all I was doing.
A lot of episodes of them.
It got me through.
Straight up.
So that's just what I did. And even overseas, the same thing. They said, hey, be here at this time. I was like, all right, cool. Is the gym open early? All right, cool. I'm going to shoot. You know, that's just kind of what I did.
Was it anywhere else in Poland in them 7 years? Like, did you go any?
Oh, yeah. So my rookie year, I was in Poland. And then my second year, I was in China.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the next 4 years after that, I was in Russia. And then 1 year after Russia, I was in China again.
Was that the same spy dude that like Sue and all them played for?
No. I played for Dynamo Kursk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How dope was it? Like you say, you having the success you having, and then you watching Shanae come right behind you. She come be a top pick, and then y'all the first sisters to be in the All-Star game together. Like, how dope is that for you and her and the family?
Just such a blessing, you know. I don't think that anyone had any expectation of Chiney to do, if not better, than what I was doing.
Mm.
And so when she was doing her thing, it was like, oh shoot, like let's keep this rolling.
Right.
And you know, wherever I was always paying attention. I was always trying to like call her, let her know. Like she would call me asking for advice. And any game that I could make, especially like during the playoffs or during the Final Four, I was there and I was cheering her on. Cause you know, I think Chiney wants to be great too, you know, in everything that she does. And she found her way that suited her.
Let me ask you about the Minnesota Sparks series, the championship when y'all won. Just tell us just how intense, because you're playing against five Hall of Famers. Like, they starting five is going to be Hall
every
of
night,
Famers.
Seven and, on that court every night. I was just like.
And I just watched the end of the last game,
uh-huh.
You know, your tip in. You had kind of like a rough offensive game, not all around game, because you rebounded.
No, it was hard for me to find a bucket in that game.
Yeah. And the way you got the last bucket. But I just watched that last sequence of it. The dime you gave to Candace.
She saved my life on that.
That was
I told
dime.
Her in the timeout, I was like, Candace, you saved my life because I don't know what I was going to do.
You jumped up, you looked, you said, oh.
I was like, ooh, she's right there.
But just tell us, just go through that series and just playing against Maya and playing against their talent and going against their, because everybody had them beating y'all.
Yeah. I mean, everybody? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're going to have to revisit that. But.
Well, everybody on TV, put it like that, I felt.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
you're
everybody
right.
was just like, because they was a dynasty.
For sure.
They was winning the last couple of them.
For sure.
I've definitely felt that y'all had the firepower to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, those 2 years, I would say, I've never experienced any type of energy, environment, like anything like that ever.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever experienced like that. To me, it was probably like those 2 years was like the height of like my human experience. Because, you know, we're over here building what we can try and build, and we assemble this team, and we have a lot of core foundational pieces. You got the Lynx, who I always tell people this, and I'm not sure if people truly value this. Okay, yeah, they won four ships. Mm-hmm. But to go to the finals that many years in a row,
yeah.
I don't think people understand how difficult that is.
Yeah,
crazy.
Like, you can shame them for losing whatever. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Going to the finals consecutively that many times.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. So when we got to the point where we were kind of, you know, feeling like, hey, this is starting to feel like something. You know, we got AB and we have KT, me, Candace, like all of these different pieces together now. Jantel, of course. We added Chels.
Chels, yeah.
Essence. Like, we had all these.
Young Chels.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're just like, we're just trying to like build. And, you know, Phoenix is there and there's always that rivalry with Phoenix. But then now all of a sudden everyone sees the big dogs, you know, and that's the team to beat.
Yeah.
That's a team if you can try to dream to beat them.
Yeah.
But they were the type of team where like they weren't just talented. They were connected.
Yeah.
They were smart as hell.
I hated it, though. I feel like they had too much firepower. Like, how all them on the same team?
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, they made it. They figured it out.
Then they got Cynthia. It was like, oh, they tripping. They already got the best, one of the best.
Yeah, when they got Syl, I was like, you guys can't be serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but it was fun, man. Like, being that competitive every night against a certain team was just fun. And then in 16, I think that was the year when we both started off undefeated for several weeks.
I was about to say MVP. MVP and championship.
Yeah.
Like, how did that feel to get, like, you know what, Ma, you got me first year, second year. This is for all the turmoil you put me through early on.
I mean, honestly, like, for me, I'm kind of more internally motivated. So, like, I don't really, like, pit myself or, like, compare myself to other people. But I recognize greatness. And I'm like, okay, if you're going to be great, I'm going to bring my greatness. You know, like, that's kind of how I am. And I mean, between the two teams, you have MVPs, DPOYs, like
everything,
like future Hall of Famers. It's insane. Rookie of the Years. Like, I don't know how many Rookie of the Years we had on that team, on both teams. So then we get to the matchups and it's like, okay, cool. They got the first one. They stay undefeated. Like, all right, cool. And then it just became like a tit for tat. It was like, okay, we play you guys. All right, we gonna smack that ass.
I ain't gonna come here.
Like, yeah, you know, like then it just became back and forth. And then when you get to 16 and you get to that was the first year that they changed the playoff format.
Yeah.
And we were so grateful because would you ever want... We wouldn't have seen a playoffs between the two of us. It was two West teams.
Yeah.
So we get to the playoffs, we have our byes, and we get there, and it's just like every game is just like a fight to the finish. It's just a fight to the finish. And like every game, it was a different person that was making a play.
Yeah.
You know, the first game, it was AB, and then you have... Waylon making plays, Moan making plays, you know, you got CP making plays. And by the time we got to game five, it was like...
It was intense.
It was 0-0.
Yeah.
Tell me this. You've been an 8-time All-Star, the overall number one pick, champ, Rookie of the Year, MVP, EuroLeague champion. How come, and we didn't talk about this before we had you on, like, how have you not, what have you been told about why you haven't been on the USA team?
I mean... Honestly, you know, they tell everyone the same thing. Like, and it's true. It's only 12 spots, you know? Or 13, I think. It's a hard team to make.
It definitely is.
It's a hard team to make.
The work is, proof is in the pudding.
Like, that's what I don't know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, I mean, I will say that was the first time that I was like, let me just look at my resume. I can see.
The only WNBA MVP not to have made one of those teams. That's
do you feel like, because, you know, your sister is more talkative. She's more in the camera. That's her thing. That's just her personality. But you are more humble. You're a killer. We know that when you get on the court because the accolades and everything explain itself. You're a world champion. But is it because you feel like you're so nice and so humble that it kind of penalized you? Because, like, I feel like you're one of the most underrated WNBA players right now. Like, they talk about a lot of players, but it seemed like every year, I'm like, man, she be busting their ass, and they don't know what they're saying. Like, the fuck going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a good point. And I've mentioned this before. I'm not sure if I mentioned it in interviews, but I feel like sometimes when you are the nice one,
you don't run to the camera.
Yeah, like, sometimes people know that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so... you know, in that way you can be expendable. And like, I'm not the only type of person that's like that. You know, I think that at times, like when you are disciplined, when you do what they ask, when you say, hey, like I haven't caused any problems, that's also an advantage for those who are making the decisions because they know that you won't cause any problems. Yeah. But for me, Trinae always has this thing. She says, I don't take things personally. I take notes. And so I was like, that was definitely a situation where like, I didn't take things personally. I took notes. I remember everyone that was supporting me through during that time. I remember everyone that wasn't. Like, that's just something that you just have to like keep in mind. But you still have to, my dad always says, you have to walk in grace. Like, you still have to give grace.
Yeah, you won't block your blessing.
You know, you don't want to. Yeah. But then you also have to stand up for yourself in certain times. And when those times come, there's always a time and place for those types of situations.
Was you happy to, like, a teammate like Candace, her saying something can damper something that she got on and going on in her own life from other people, but still for her stepping up and saying like, nah, I just don't feel like that one right there was right.
Yeah, I mean, CP's always going to step up and say something, you know, and she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, she was in a situation where she also, you know.
Exactly.
Where it did not make sense.
Yeah.
And I think one thing about her is that she's always going to talk about what does and does not make sense. Yeah. And she's going to give her opinion. She's not scared of it.
As the president of the WNBA Players Association, how do you feel like as far as like the growth you guys have had? And like, obviously, it's been talk about getting more teams and the necessity for more teams. Like, how do you feel, you know, from how far you guys have come? Obviously, it's a long, long way still to go. But how do you feel where things are getting to?
I mean, I think that I think the players, the game, everything is evolving, and I want to make sure that the business evolves with it. Now, of course, like, I'm not in on the day-to-day. I'm a part of the Players Association, so I know certain things, you know, with my role and responsibility as a president, but I just really feel like there's a lot of things that can be rectified for on a team, on the 12 teams that exist now, so that when we do expand, we're not adding teams with the same issues, you know? I really think that that is something that is kind of pivotal. I also think that we have to be very considerably aware of like how people are watching our games. Like, accessibility and visibility is huge for the women's game right now.
Definitely.
You know, like, are we talking about broadcast deals or are we talking about streaming services? Like, what really makes sense?
That's where it's going.
You know, like, where can streaming we get more services. Eyes? Yeah, that's where it's going.
That's where it's at.
How can we make it easy for people to watch? You know, I think that using that to our advantage to grow the game, both from the players and the league side together, is something that's really important.
Start, bench, cut. You got to start one,
oh,
you
got
to bench one, you got to trade one. Tamika Catchings, Cheryl Swoops, Maya Moore.
Oh my gosh.
Who you start, who you bench, who you cut?
I just sipped my cup and said.
We can see.
I mean, a trade.
Start, bench,
want to
trade.
Cut.
Yeah,
trade.
Okay.
We don't want to cut nobody.
I'm going to have to start Swoops. I'm going to have to bench Cat. And then I trade Maya.
Okay.
Dang.
Well, that's a wrap, man. We've been blessed today with WNBA and basketball greatness. We appreciate you for pulling
Thank
up,
you.
Neck.
Thank Thanks
you.
For having me.
A real one.
Thanks for having
World
me.
World champion. Now.
Yes, yes, all that W25. I want to thank y'all for your continued support of the Knuckleheads Podcast. Be sure to give us 2 taps by writing a review and rating 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on the Players Tribune YouTube page. Follow us on social media at Knuckleheads Podcast. And join our Knuckleheads Facebook group for exclusive content. Thanks again to all of our guests and fans. This wouldn't be possible without y'all.
ThePlayersTribune.com